January 24th, 1905. Christ's closing ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. Ellen G. White. As foreshadowed in the type and foretold in the scriptures, Christ, at the time appointed, entered the most holy place of the temple of God in heaven. He is represented by the prophet Daniel as coming at this time to the Ancient of Days. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came not to the earth, but to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. This coming is foretold also by the prophet Malachi. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. The coming of the Lord to his temple was sudden, unexpected to his people. They were not looking for him there. They expected him to come to the earth in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. Shortly after the fulfillment of some of the signs that the Savior foretold would be seen before his second coming, there took place throughout the Christian world a great religious awakening. Students of prophecy came to the conclusion that the time of the end was at hand. In the book of Daniel, they read, "Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Thinking that the earth was the sanctuary, they understood that the cleansing foretold in Daniel 8, verse 14, represented the purification of the earth by fire at the second coming of Christ. Searching the scriptures for further light and comparing this prophetic period with the records of historians, they learned that the 2300 days extended to the year 1844. This was the foundation of the Great Advent Movement of 1844. The falling of the stars in 1833 gave added force to the proclamation of the message of a soon coming Savior. Through the labors of William Miller and many others in America, of 700 ministers in England, of Bengel and others in Germany, of Gausson and his followers in France and Switzerland, of many ministers in Scandinavia, of a converted Jesuit in South America, and of Dr. Joseph Wolfe in many Oriental and African countries, the Advent message was carried to a large part of the habitable globe. But the people were not yet ready to meet their Lord. There was still a work of preparation to be accomplished for them. Light was to be given, directing their minds to the temple of God in heaven, and as they should, by faith, follow their high priest in his ministration there, new duties would be revealed. Another message of warning and instruction was to be given to the church. Says the prophet, "Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Those who are living upon the earth when the intercession of Christ shall cease in the sanctuary above are to stand in the sight of a holy God without a mediator. Their robes must be spotless, their characters must be purified from sin by the blood of sprinkling. Through the grace of God and their own diligent effort, they must be conquerors in the battle with evil. While the investigative judgment is going forward in heaven, while the sins of penitent believers are being removed from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of purification, of putting away of sin among God's people upon earth. This work is more clearly presented in the messages of Revelation 14. When this work shall have been accomplished, the followers of Christ will be ready for his appearing. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. The church which our Lord at his coming is to receive to himself will be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Besides the coming of the Lord to his temple, Malachi also foretells his second advent, his coming for the execution of the judgment, in these words: "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." Jude refers to the same scene when he says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds." This coming, and the coming of the Lord to his temple, are distinct and separate events. The passing of the time in 1844 was followed by a period of great trial to those who still held the Advent faith. Their only relief, so far as ascertaining their true position was concerned, was the light which directed their minds to the sanctuary above. Some renounced their faith in their former reckoning of the prophetic periods and ascribed to human or satanic agencies the powerful influence of the Holy Spirit which had attended the Advent movement. Another class firmly held that the Lord had led them into their past experience, and as they waited and watched and prayed to know the will of God, they saw that their great high priest had entered upon another work of ministration, and, following him by faith, they were led to see also the closing work of the church. They had a clearer understanding of the first and second angels' messages, and were prepared to receive and give to the world the solemn warning of the third angel of Revelation 14. Mrs. E. G. White.